Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 254.
254. You won't snore.
You won't snore.
With us at the helm of another fantastic podcast.
254, who fights for?
Who fights for? Why would you fight for? The scariest number in Chinese, of course, because it sounds like death.
Which one?
Four.
Oh, really? On its own?
Yeah.
And eight is good.
Si sounds like death.
Si.
Eight is good.
Eight is lucky, isn't it?
Three is good.
Three?
Three is good. I think eight is most prosperous, maybe.
Eight is rich.
It is rich.
Three is good.
You can tell it's rich because it's so voluptuous.
Yeah, it's big. It looks like a cartoon of a capitalist.
Yeah.
Big fat businessman. Okay, and then four is death.
Four is death.
What's five?
Ooh. I don't think. I'm not sure five has much meaning. Well, I mean, this is Chinese culture. I'm sure every digit has some meaning.
Five is for when you're impressed.
Ooh.
Five. Could be.
Yeah.
One must be like the winner's number. Or is it the loneliest number that you could ever be?
One never comes up really in terms of like luck.
Mm-mm. Yeah. That would be a good like
I think it's too early on.
Yeah, because you go one, that's lucky. People go, oh, whoa. We've only just started.
Yeah.
But then
one's good.
It can't be too late. You're going to be like, and 113. Forget it.
Yeah.
It's got the sweet spot. The sweet spot is between 3 and 21.
Is there a known reason why? Although it goes up to 27, right? 27 club.
Oh, that's true. 27 club.
Is that the last unlucky number in Western culture? 666 must be the last
unlucky
number.
Yes, that's got to be it, right?
That's got to be the last bad number.
Unless there's a year that's unlucky. But I don't think there is.
No. 69 is the only... Is that the only good number?
I can't think of any other... The only sexy number.
It's the only sexy number, but it's also assumed good.
69?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's sexy.
Oh, right. Okay, so people just go, oh, ha, sex.
Yeah. I mean, in Western culture, I'm just saying that, you know, there aren't a lot of positive numbers.
There's a lot of Bible numbers.
Oh, yeah?
3, 7, and 12 are big old Bible numbers.
Oh, the Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity, 12 tribes of Israel, 7
deadly sins?
Gold rings, 7 deadly sins, 7 virtues as well.
Oh, the lesser known 7 virtues.
Yeah, the 7 good guy powers, like charity and patience. And 7 was used in the Old Testament often as like a general, like...
Oh, just, 7's lucky number, of course.
Just like loads.
How did I forget about 7, lucky number 7?
Lucky number 7.
And 3 is a magic number.
Yes. But also, in the Bible when it says, even unto the 7th generation, when someone's cursed...
Oh, even the good number, you'll be cursed.
Even unto the 7th generation. And it does mean 7, but it also just means, like, imagine that bigger number.
Oh, it's like,
it's
wow.
Like, that's like saying shmishmillion.
Or like nth, to the nth degree.
Yes, to the 7th generation. To the 7th generation, they won't even know who they are.
Right.
They won't even have the same surname.
That's good.
Yeah, so there's lots of Bible numbers.
12 disciples.
12 disciples as well, yes, exactly. 13's unlucky, I think, because of the Last Supper, isn't it?
Because there are 13 of them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember a superstition I heard growing up, which was that you should never dine in a group of 13, because you will never dine together as a 13 again.
Well, that is very certainly likely, because of the logistics of getting 13 people together again.
It's so hard to get people to come around. Yeah.
I mean, they're not wrong. I think they just...
It's more about admin.
For the wrong reasons.
It's more about admin. Yeah, if you have too big a dinner, people will use it as an excuse to not see each other for another year.
Exactly, exactly. I'm glad we did this. That's what everyone will say at the end. I'm glad we did this. We have to do this again sometime. Which is the thing you say to make sure something never happens ever.
That's what Judas kept saying. Guys, it's great. This is great. This is
That's
great.
That's why he was unpopular.
That's why he was unpopular. He kept saying, this is great, and we should do this again. God, it's weird, isn't it? Because we all live in Judea. We never hang out.
Never get together.
Down the road. I see my friends from the barbaric Greek islands far away more than I see people who live right here in Judea. It's absolutely mad. Yeah, that's why people didn't like him. He kept doing things like that.
Yeah, he was annoying.
He was annoying. Do you think there are any people called Judas? There can't be.
I think it went the way of Adolf a long time ago.
It was the original Adolf.
Yeah, it was early on in the history of unpopular baby names. Or baby names that went out of fashion real quick.
Almost instantly. Bam. Yeah, how many... Because Christianity didn't take over for a long time.
Mm.
There must have still been a few Judases knocking around.
Before people heard the name. Yeah. Heard the stories. Yeah. And they changed it, probably.
That would be a fun chat to have with someone. What are you gonna call your son? Adolf Judas or Judas Adolf? Some combination of that. Yeah. No, we're gonna bring it back. It'll be a conversation starter.
Adolf Judas Stalin, get down here right now. I'm very disappointed in you, Adolf Judas Stalin.
Adolf Judas Stalin.
I never would have expected this from my Adolf Judas Stalin.
Not my Adolf Judas Stalin, I said, when I got the call from your school.
Vida told me 3 years ago that my son, Adolf Judas Stalin, would do something this bad. I would have laughed at you.
It's, Yeah, there must have been a few knocking around.
What names of bad people have survived? What's a very bad... Joseph... I guess the thing with Adolf Hitler is both Adolf and Hitler stand out as names.
Yeah.
Joseph Stalin... I mean, we're not going to cancel Joseph at this point.
No.
And Stalin is, unique enough that we can go...
It was a nickname.
That's a Man of Steel?
Yeah, Steel guy.
What was his real name?
Dugashvili? I think he's Georgian.
He's Georgian.
I think it was Dugashvili or something like that. Yeah, Joseph Stalin and his Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's just all shades of red. It was red and red and red and red. Just that song, but with red.
It'd be very funny if alongside a Superman movie, that movie came out about Stalin, also called Man of Steel.
I do a Versus. Way better than...
Oh, yeah, that'd be sick.
Way better than Batman versus Superman.
Superman versus Stalin.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And it would depend on the manner of fighting, because Superman would eventually punch his way through the almost infinite tanks of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
It would take a while.
Yeah.
But what if it was more like Superman versus Stalin, where Stalin just very gradually manages to freeze Superman out of various committees? And then just has him disappeared.
And yeah, he's put in a kryptonite gulag.
Yes, yeah.
Mm.
And he just has to work in Siberia, punching diamonds and gold out of the earth. This is good. This is a graphic novel.
Well, it's very similar to Red Sun.
Yes, yeah.
Which is highly recommended if you're into your comics, graphic novels. It's a what-if comic book about what if Superman landed in the Soviet Union instead of the USA.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yes?
Yeah.
Phil's having a stroke.
I'm at the end of my thought. I got to the end of my thought.
Phil, have you been, I've been in the West End with Frank Skinner.
Ooh la la, the fashionable West End.
London's glittering West End.
With lovies. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
On Sunday, this Sunday gone on Radio 4 came the pilot episode of Unspeakable, which I'm hosting with Susie Dent.
Yes, of course.
And it's about inventing new words to describe modern phenomena or things in life that you think need a word to describe them. And one of our guests was Stephen Fry, incredibly.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and Susie then pointed out on the show that Stephen is notable for many things, but one reason is that he was the only person in the room who is in the Oxford English Dictionary, cited as the first ever written down, published use of the word lovey. He wrote it in an article for, I don't know, the Evening Standard or some newspaper back in the day.
Back in like the...
Late 80s?
Late 80s, yeah. Surely. Oh, my God.
And he described, a class of creative people as loveys.
Really?
And that's the first documented use of the word lovey. So he's in the Oxford English Dictionary as a first use of the word lovey.
So it's his fault that that very fat, red, thick-necked men have a word for us, basically.
For disparaging anyone who's done a single performance of anything ever.
Anyone who knows the name of a single painting or show. The London liberal loveys.
Quaffing
champagne and scoffing canapes on this lovely liberal. Ugh.
But it's on BBC Sounds now. It's called Unspeakable. Look up Unspeakable on BBC Sounds. And if it gets enough listens, then Papa's got a new job.
Yeah, Papa's a new word. You're a wordsmith. What's your role on the show?
Host. I stop people from fighting each other. I'm there going, whoa, calm down. Can we please be civil? Stephen, put her down. That's what my job is.
You're there saying, like, can we all learn the meaning of the word tolerance? Please. Yeah. Oh, nice.
It's a great show if you like words and coming up with words, but also if you're a pedant. There's a part of the show where we invite people to put words they don't like into word jail.
I have so many.
Yeah.
Oh, brekkie.
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 Why don't you like brekkie?
It's a disgusting little abbreviation.
And no shorter than breakfast, no quicker to say.
Exactly. It's a failed abbreviation. It's patronizing. It's trying to be. It's like a vicar trying to be fun. It's brekkie, breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want for brekkie? I want you to shoot yourself in the head.
It's also very wackaging. It's the kind of thing that would be.
It's wackaging, yeah.
On my loo rolls.
Like if you brought out a new someone who gets famous on TikTok for the way that they organize their kitchen brings out a new range of snack bars in partnership with fucking, you know. Hitler Landmine Limited, and the packaging says, up your brekkie.
Yes.
Fuck off.
Upgrade your brekkie.
Yeah. Level
up your brekkie. Level up your brekkie. Pierce just had to be sick.
Yeah, I just had to be sick, just through my nose as well. The worst way to do it. Just burning nostrils. It's the most awful. I have a thing where and I'm never sure why, and maybe you can suggest something.
Mm.
I'm filled with rage by...
Just a funny way to start. Maybe you help me with this. I'm filled with rage.
Any ideas? Anyone? Just a hands up sort of thing. No wrong answers. No wrong answers.
I'm filled with rage.
Does anyone... You, sir.
Yes.
You, sir. Yes, you, sir. I'm filled with rage by childish or patronizing abbreviations of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm nervous. I have theories as to why.
Yep.
But I'm not. I have no definitive. They just make me so irritated.
I guess central to it is a dishonesty.
Mm.
There's a dishonesty about the meaning of the word. So
yeah.
Like, I don't know, when a parent says winky instead of penis. It's like, yeah. You're being dishonest about something that you don't need to be dishonest about.
Yeah, why?
What are you...
The word means the same thing.
Mm. And cutifying it... I mean, not only does it help nothing, it makes it creepier.
It's odd.
Yeah.
It's an odd thought where you go, oh, well, I'd better make a sort of fun version of penises for the children.
For the kids.
The kids want like a fun rock and roll kind of penis. They don't want the word penis. That's your granddad's word. They need a fun...
Hey, this isn't your granddad's penis.
This isn't your grand...
Hey, kids, this isn't your granddad's
penis. This isn't your granddad's penis. Hey, whoa, slow down, boys. This ain't your granddad's dick. Okay? This is a cool new penis that I think you're all going to really groove with.
It's called Winky.
It's called Winky, and it's a little more fun than, and it's never hard. Okay? That is an important part of it, I think. You can't have a hard Winky.
I guess that's it. Maybe in that sense, they are useful words because they actually describe a subset of the penis, which is a soft penis. Because a penis can be hard or soft.
Yeah.
You don't know.
But then can does your then we but now, Phil, we've painted ourselves into the linguistic philosophical corner. Does a Winky become a penis if it were to become erect?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, all right, that's our policy.
Yeah.
It was a Winky.
And then becomes a penis.
Yeah, and that could be useful for describing, I don't know, a flasher.
Mm.
Well, was it a Winky or a penis?
It was that's a Winky or a penis. But because it is an important distinction in movies. You can show a Winky, but you can't show a hard cock.
No, you can't.
Cut or cock.
No, you can't.
And actually, on converse to the Winky situation, I don't like it when someone refers to a flaccid penis as a cock. I'm like, that's not a cock.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think a cock is hard.
Okay.
Maybe I've watched too much Bond, but for me, a cock is hard.
All boners are happening all the time.
I just think a cock is hard.
So what do
I think a dick can be either.
Okay, so dick is the neutral.
I think dick is a bit more floppy than hard, but a cock is definitely hard. I think yeah. I think there's a spectrum here.
There's a dick spectrum.
Of softness of penis.
Well, yeah, and the spectrum could be is literally expressible through angle. Isn't it?
Ah, yes. Yeah, you could write this chart out on yeah.
-25 degrees. There's a Winky zone.
You have 45 degrees. You have 90 degrees, don't you, to work with?
Yeah, you have 90 degrees. Well.
Well, I mean,
no, you have 180. You go from -90 to
your flat penis. Flaccid penis goes into your body.
No, wait, what is it? Would it just be one side of the graph? It does go negative.
That's 180.
That's 180, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like when it's hanging down.
Yeah, but never it doesn't go all the way pointing upwards.
That's true. Well, some people. Not me.
Yeah, not me neither. I think that's a bit too rare for us to consider here.
It would, yeah. Do some people go straight up belly button? Straight up, like, I think like if they were trying to shoot themselves in the head with their own dick. That would be the angle. And some are completely flat. But I'm talking about, as well, like, yeah, we've got a range here. Okay, well, what do you call it when it's in Game of Thrones and this guy's hanging dong and flopping around?
Right.
Because they can't show them hard, so everyone's leaving and arriving.
I'd call that a dick.
You call that a dick?
Yeah. I think a flaccid, big flaccid penis. If your penis is big when it's flaccid, it's yeah. Talking about that's a dick.
Okay.
If it's small when it's flaccid, that's a willy.
Willy, we yeah. Forgot about willy.
Yeah, and actually, if it's I think the smallest is Winky, then the bit bigger is willy, and then dick yeah. Is a bit bigger.
Yeah.
And then like cock is at the end. Cock is the biggest.
Yes. Yeah.
Penis.
That's like medical.
Yeah, I think penis can probably.
Penis is like saying
it could be all of it.
Penis is like saying ape.
penis. I love a chart of the penises getting slightly harder and across time
through history. The second to final penis has a spear. Can someone who does graphic design knock this up, please?
I don't want to see this,
but only in silhouette. This like hunched over like chimp. Shape of a dick and balls, and then gradually the final one has a briefcase,
yeah, and a shirt,
a little tie, yeah,
city dick.
Oh man, so penis is genus,
penis is the genus,
the penis is the genus, yeah. And the genus is penis. Okay, so this is the sort of
Homo
thing,
Homo erectus,
nice,
that you know. Names itself, really.
Yeah, Homo erectus. That would be a good. That would be a good. Not like a drag name, but like a gay cabaret act.
Homo erectus.
Homo erectus.
Yeah.
Dress like a caveman.
Yeah.
You got like a Flintstones, you know, like animal skins.
Yeah.
You'd be all hairy. You'd be a hairy gay man.
Uh huh.
And you do like a cabaret show where it's like drumming. You know, like caveman drumming, but you have a boner the whole time.
Yeah, right.
That's the sexy aspect. Okay. Is that he's just under his loincloth. He's just
Oh, okay, so it's a bulge the whole time. It's not...
At the end, he gets it out, and everyone's impressed, and I guess they throw rings on it.
Yeah, nice one.
Homo erectus.
Yeah.
There's a basement in Soho where we could sell out if we could find the right performer for this film. We write it, he does it. It's like old school, 50s style. You have some writers. It talks like that as well. He's got a spear, but the spear's a dildo. You know.
Oh, there's so many layers you can add on this.
Yeah. How did we get onto this?
The bone through the nose could be a boner.
That could be a boner.
The nose, boner in the hair.
Yes. Yeah.
How did we get onto this?
Oh, I hate diminutive phrasing.
Oh. That's his podcast in a nutshell, I think.
Yeah. We've lined up a fucking caveman-themed gay cabaret act called Homo Erectus, based on that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I think it's the performativeness of it and the dishonesty.
The silliness and... Yeah, dishonesty is part of it. I think I don't like the implication that I need it.
It's patronizing.
Don't do this for me. I didn't ask you to do this.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way that people, I've heard women before, like, this doesn't happen for, like, decades. Obviously, it's very old-fashioned, but women complaining when men would do that thing of, like, sorry for swearing to, like, the only woman in the room.
Oh, yeah.
That's patronizing.
Yes.
So you're like, I don't need you to protect my ears.
Right, so it's the same thing.
That feeling.
Yes, yeah,
like,
right.
Sorry, you're saying brekkie because I'm what? I'm frightened of... Oh, not boring old breakfast again.
Yeah,
right. Oh, not like grown-ups.
You think I'm scared of breakfast?
Yeah.
Well, I find breakfast too difficult an idea?
Yeah, exactly. Or I need breakfast kind of spiced up somehow. I need my toast on a skateboard or fucking on a big spoon.
It also ties into this kind of comfort sort of cutesy Britishness, you know, that kind of tea drinker.
Yeah.
Cutiness. Yeah. Yeah, a bit sweary. Yeah.
Oh. Tea drinker. Yeah, love gin.
Yeah, the kind of people who just love watching a clip of Olivia Colman saying fuck at an awards show.
Yeah, but then crucially going, oh, and like grabbing her face.
Yeah, and you go, come on, man, she's been planning to do that for weeks. Are you so easily fooled? I bet you think Jennifer Lawrence is real down-to-earth girl next door as well.
Yeah, there was an interview where she said she eats chili cheese fries. Fuck off. She means at Christmas. She means at Thanksgiving. And it's one bowl and she has to lie down.
And yeah, it's a cup, an American baking measurement cup.
A cup of chili cheese fry.
Fry, or it's one fry.
A fry and a spoon of chili. Oh. Obviously, if she ate the chili cheese fries every day, her job would end.
Her job would end.
Or if she does eat chili cheese fries, she must be doing like an Olympic athlete level of training to burn the requisite calories.
She's exercising all day, every day.
Yeah, she's at the gym for 7 hours. 4 in the morning, 3 in the evening, and every other meal is a handful of almonds. Mm-hmm. Get real. Also, I think there's an arrogant, old-fashioned part of me that hates it, because it's like when someone calls you Phil instead of Mr. Wang in a certain context where you're the customer.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, I'm in somewhere and there's a Costa or whatever, Starbucks, and it's like, brilliant, new brekkies. And it's like, how dare you speak to me like that?
I'm the customer.
Well, you are not my. You are not my friend.
Put on a tie and call it breakfast.
Put on a proper suit, wear a tie, and call it breakfast. Exactly, and maybe that's part of it because I want to say to Starbucks, "You're not my friend."
Yeah.
If you were my friend, you would not keep forgetting to make filter coffee.
Yes. And yes, it's never available.
It's never available. And you've got the machine. I'm looking at it.
And I don't care if you'll charge me the same for an Americano. I want the filter coffee because it makes me feel special.
I want a filter coffee because it makes me feel like a detective.
Yes.
It makes me feel like I'm solving murders.
It makes me feel like I'm working on the case all night.
Yeah. Looking through documents. Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I find the right one right as my partner claps me on the shoulder and says, get some rest. That's exactly when I find the right one.
Yeah, after you've rubbed your forehead for a bit.
Yeah, well, exactly.
With your eyes closed.
And they're going, these murders. Get some rest, buddy. As they sling their jacket over their shoulder.
Yeah.
That's when I find it.
Yeah.
Do you remember the a while ago, you, me, Jason, and George, your Daphne sketch crew partners, for people listening who aren't au fait with the lore?
Yeah.
We were laughing at different ways to, if someone makes a joke and it doesn't quite work, different devastating ways to respond to a failed joke.
And in conversation.
Yeah. And one was to say, get some rest. It's the most brutal. Someone goes, oh, like this, blah, blah, blah. No one laughs. You go, just put them on the shoulder, clap them on the shoulder and say, get some rest, buddy. Get some rest. You go home and you get some rest.
Devastating.
Okay,
so here's a question for you on the subject of, you know, brands and companies and shops, whatever, using sort of goofy, funny language or taking things less seriously, making an active effort to be less serious in the language. Are we especially annoyed by it because we work in unseriousness? Our job is to be unseriousness. We work in jokes. And so when it's sort of a busman's holiday when we've come in something to a cafe just wanting a thing and we have to get through the jokes to the thing that we want. So do you think people who don't work in comedy are less annoyed by it?
I think definitely. I think that's actually, I think that's very true. Because you're sort of like, I'm here at the cafe. I don't need someone to be like, I don't need this from you.
Yes.
I have a big reservoir of humor in my brain, and that is actually one of my main problems.
Yeah, and it actually happens when I meet people, or people meet me, and they know me as a comedian, and people who, you know, don't work in comedy get, understandably, I guess, excited when they're around a comedian, but they think that they have to speak to me in jokes.
Yes.
They think they have to be funny all the time, and you can see them trying really hard to be funny about everything.
Yeah, and they go, I know what this guy likes.
Yeah, I know this guy's language. He literally only understands what someone is talking about if it's a joke.
He only talks like the Joker from Batman, just like constant like zingers.
You don't have to do that. And after you've come off stage, actually, you just want people to talk straight to you.
Also, most comedians are so aggressively normal. Serious. Serious. They're not, it's not like actors or they haven't got airs and graces. Like, constantly fearing the audience's judgment keeps you on a more even keel, I think. And I think if people spoke to us in a completely neutral way, they'd really win us over.
Yeah.
If that's the goal,
yeah,
it would be such a relief. You'd be like, oh, I feel normal. Whereas, like you say, constantly be like, oh, yeah, up here, bald as I am. And what they're doing is making you go, ha, 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 yes.
Yeah.
You have done a joke.
Yeah, now I have to be polite.
I like it.
Yeah.
And I must like it because I am a comedian and you have noticed that.
And I feel like people who do that are probably less annoyed by wacker jokes.
They really enjoy the word brekkie. They go, well, hang on a minute, that's not the right word. I think they mean breakfast, but I'm not sure. I think, I don't like it as well because I hate what I call beano words.
Oh.
Scuff, gozzle, quaff, chocky, lecky.
Yeah.
Put on your telly box.
Woof.
Plug it into the lecky, put on your telly box and scoff some jockeys. I'm going to kill myself.
Jump onto the interwebs.
Twee fun talk. Yes. But I don't like it as well because beano talk pops up in British journalism a lot when they're trying to make you hate a group. And it's like, politicians were quaffing champagne at the reception. And I've talked about this before, but it's like, I think maybe it's because it's clumsy manipulation.
Clumsy in a way.
It's so obvious that you want me to dislike these people because of their drink.
But it does work. So it can't be that clumsy.
I think it works on some people, but I think it's like it works on people who already didn't like actors or politicians or whoever anyway.
And that's what they're aiming for.
Yeah, but then it's like just masturbation. Then it's masturbatory.
Yeah.
I just hate it.
Yeah, I agree. It's awful. You
go, fuck off.
Yeah.
The journalists at the National Journalism Awards, quaffing champagne and scuffing jockeys. Shut up. Stop it. I don't care what drinks they had. Unless it was human blood. I'm not interested.
Yeah. And also, what was it saying about the readers? They've never had chocolate.
They don't have any lecky or telly boxes, Phil. And they're very envious. the politics of envy.
Yeah, Lecky is gross. Why does Lecky get a cute name? Like Gas doesn't.
Gas.
Gassy is not.
I guess it's hard to shorten Gas.
That's true. That's true.
Any other way of describing Gas sounds too cool. Fire air.
Fire air.
Fire air.
Yeah.
Flammable air.
Well, speaking of...
speaking of flammable
gassy,
air.
Yeah,
gas. Speaking of gas.
Time to read some correspondence.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls,
Correspondence. Chris is in touch with us.
Chris, what the piss?
What the piss, Chris? And Chris, I'm not going to say your name, but it's a cool name.
Oh, I have to.
I'll show you later.
Ooh,
I'll show you later.
A little treat for me. A little post-podcast reward.
Hi, end of the Pierre sideshow fillers.
Ah.
Yeah.
Very good.
We discussed a while ago you using a previous tenant's toilet brush.
Oh, yeah. So the house I moved into, I used the previous family's toilet brushes for a month.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. I remember even as a kid looking at the toilet brush going, but that can't be it.
I know. And at first I thought, oh, is this too gross? And then I also thought, well, what am I saying about my shit in comparison to theirs? Oh, gross. I have this thing that touched their shit. It's not worthy of my shit.
It would depend upon the state the family had left it in.
It was gross.
Yeah.
It was bad. It had a bit of water in the bottom of the thing.
Oh, man. That water.
Rough.
That water contains the end of all human life, I think.
Safely say the last bit of liquid I want to drink, that water.
Yeah.
The last bit of
liquid. That's
the very last.
Saving that for
you'd
last.
Have to wake up pretty early in the morning to get me to drink some of that liquid.
Brushy wash. Ooh, yummy. Ugh. Scrammy. Speaking of Phil using the previous occupant's toilet brush, many years ago when my brother and his girlfriend broke up and she moved out, he stayed at home with us for a couple of days so she could move her stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Once she was done, he returned home to find that, among other things, she had taken the toilet brush.
Wow, that's petty.
That's Tom Petty.
That's poopy.
That's poopy.
That's very... That is... I think that is very much a case of... was it... Spiting your face to spite your nose? Was it crunching your face to spite your nose? What is it? Smashing your face to...
Cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Right, yeah.
This is like a clever traveling man again.
Yeah, cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
I've always found an odd saying, but I think that's what she's doing, isn't it?
Yeah, she's having to carry a poopy brush.
Around. Thinking, this'll show him.
He'll miss this. He'll miss this.
Yeah.
Stinky old brush.
They're breaking up and she's going, well, say goodbye to this, but she's not pointing at her body, she's pointing at two shitty brushes.
Well, I hope you enjoy taking a last look at this. And she just points into the loo because they're in the living room. And he's like, at what? This. And she like says like, follow me. She's like, lead him into the bathroom. And he's like, what? This. The toilet? No. Next to the toilet.
No, I can't take the toilet with me.
I can't take the toilet with me. Next to the toilet. The bleach? No. This. And she has to touch it. This. The toilet brush? Yeah. That's say right. goodbye.
Bet you're sorry now.
So, Chris says, I've never quite gotten over how gross and hilarious this act was. Surely, surely a toilet brush will only ever belong to one toilet. They mate for life.
Yeah, of course. I didn't think about it that yeah. way. Not only is a yeah, brush is mated to, I don't know, a family, a set of inhabitants, and yeah. a toilet. I wouldn't even exchange the brushes between my toilets because they
French exchange.
Ah, see what it's like. See how the other half live. Yeah.
Now you see. Now you all learn a little bit about what the world can really be like. Yeah. Toilet brushes. Which toilet brush of your two do you think has the better life?
I guess it's one that gets the least action, which would yeah. be I have for some reason a lot of toilets in my house. And it would be toilet on the first floor.
Okay.
Gets the least action. Don't get me wrong. I put it through its paces whenever I can.
Well, we're presuming that the toilet brushes don't live to work.
They work to live.
They work to live. But we're presuming that they don't love their work, even though it is their purpose.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe the happiest one is the one that does get the most action. See what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it does depend how much they love their jobs.
I'm reminded of a quote from Camus.
Oh, yes.
We must imagine Sisyphus happy.
Okay, interesting. And to what end must we imagine Sisyphus happy? What does it prove or illustrate or show?
So let's see. The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. One must imagine Sisyphus happy.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that. Because
about the absurdity of life, and that's what it all is anyway, so.
Right. And yeah. we are, in fact, all of us, just a happy Sisyphus.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's the general idea. And what if that's true of your toilet brushes, is what I'm saying.
Ah.
Happy little brushes.
Happy Sisyphus. Happy Sisyphus!
Happy Sisyphus! What are you guys doing for Sisyphus?
Oh, same thing as last year.
High brow, low brow. We're literally trying to apply Camus to shit-covered brushes. And it's working. No one else does it like this. And that's why it can't go anywhere.
That's why this is not scalable. This
no, because Radio 4 people don't want us to talk about the poo, and poo people don't want us to talk about Camus. Camus or poo-poo?
Capu.
It's Capu.
Capu, yeah.
Album Capu.
Kakamu?
Kakamu. This is the trouble. We're stuck between two toilet seats.
Ah.
Yeah.
One toilet seat can only tell the truth. One toilet seat can only tell a lie.
One of your brushes can only do
But I've got these new silicon guys. They have the old bristle, which I think that's most horrible, is the old style like metal handle. I feel sick just describing it.
Rusty bristles.
Rusty bristles. And he goes chonka chonka chonk, picks up as much hair and shit as it can in the bristles, and then you pop it into the cylinder, the dark cylinder that they've made the most effort possible to ensure cannot evaporate. So you're just gradually building a body of water, perfect watertight seal, vapor tight seal. And I've got these silicon ones that you put in. They're suspended over an opening so they can air out. And I think the poop does try to slide off the silicon while you're rubbing the toilet. So it comes out, you know, with poop on it. And the bristles are short. And the silicon. So you're not like actively clawing at hair and shit to hold on to it. Like the old brushes, the bristle brushes, you couldn't more effectively design something to hold on to and hold on to.
The metal bristle toilet brushes are like machines you'd invent to harvest clumps of shit from in a bowl in nature.
It'd be on the news. It'd be like, the 16-year-old boy has invented a way of collecting all the shit in the sea.
It would be like it's this device that just, like a rock pool, it can just get every animal out of a rock pool.
Yeah, right.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's actually too good. It's like the Mr. Burns' thing in The Simpsons.
Blocking out the sun.
Sweeps the sea clean.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, made of Little Lisa's.
Little Lisa, yeah, that's a good episode.
Oh, man, that's so funny. clawing at shit and hair. Yeah, and the rust as well. You go rust and poo.
This thing that we've got to dip into water again and again for its entire use life.
Thank God it's made of ungalvanized iron. Hooray for that.
I've made up the term use life, by the way. I guess
use life?
Yeah.
Ooh. What would it actually be? For it, its entire...
It is use life. Shelf life, people normally say, but that's not quite right when you're using...
That's passive.
Yeah, exactly.
I like use life.
Okay.
I like it.
Let's stick with use life then.
You got to introduce that onto your show.
Hey, yeah, I'm the Stephen Fry of Use Life.
That's right.
I think that might be too technical and not funny enough for the show.
But yeah.
Give it a go anyway.
You need to invent a word like lovies that people who like words use a lot. Then it'll get absorbed.
They have a captive audience, I guess.
Fucking nerd word.
Nerd word. Nerd word alert.
We have been sent some tat of various kinds by Emma.
Oh, Emma! She's currently full of phlegma.
She could be.
There's a cold going about.
Probably it's going around. I've got it.
Yeah.
I've got
a winter cold.
I'm cold. Emma says, what does she say? She says, I don't know if I'm allowed to send tat this way. Because it's on Instagram.
Oh. No, anyway, it's good with us.
Yeah. The whole thread is great, but this one is my favorite. I'll leave you to guess which one she means is her favorite.
Okay.
These are... T-shirts.
Okay.
And so someone called Squilly Hef on Twitter.
Okay.
Has been at Disneyland. And he says, I've been here a day and already I've seen so many like Disney couple shirts that boil down to the following.
Oof.
Are people okay? And like the lady shirt says, I'm his Minnie. And he's drawn these.
Oh, he's made
these. Are like a parody. He says they seem to just be like this, and it's quite funny. The lady shirt is, I'm his Minnie, and the man shirt is, my bitch wife is making me pay for this.
Yes.
And it is true.
Yeah, as has been observed on this podcast, the aggressive...
Aggressive misogytat.
Misogytat.
So there's one of a guy. Here's a picture. Most financially irresponsible day ever, written in the Disney font.
Is that a real one?
Seems real. Two people having fun. Yeah, most expensive day ever, best day ever.
How crazy is that? So the girl's got best day ever, and the guy's got a shirt that said most expensive day ever.
And they're both in that Disney curly whirly font.
Woof. That's old fashioned stuff.
Man, America's old fashioned, man. Everyone over there wants to be paid for.
Oh, yeah.
The ladies. Wise.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. I went on 3 or 4 dates with Americans.
Yanks!
But in London, and I had to pay the whole way for all of it.
Wow.
Implicit.
What a gentleman.
Nice gentleman.
I love a gentleman.
He was French, but he was from Africa.
Africa.
Throw an R in every word.
Oh, have I mentioned this?
Eh?
Did I say this on the podcast about the American accents and the word the?
I don't think so.
So I had an audition that needed to be American accent.
Yes. And you thought, fuck this, I'm doing American, it's better.
I went specifically Boston, but then I also went and looked up a YouTube video of just like how to do an American accent. And most of the stuff was kind of like, adding the R kind of sound at the end of things. But an observation that I had never noticed but was spot on was Americans say the or the depending on the word that comes after it.
Yeah.
If the next word starts with a consonant, they say the. If it starts with a vowel, they say the. So they say, we're going to the park.
Yeah.
But we'll take the only way there.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go, we'll take the only way there, you go, oh, that sounds a bit off, and I'm not sure why. They say the only.
It's because there's a double vowel, like little ditch, isn't there, that you have to jump over?
The only. Yep.
There's a little stop. The only.
Whereas the just only. Flows straight in. Yeah.
Whereas the only adds a Y, doesn't it? The only.
But I thought it was such a good observation. And
that's
great. It really helps with American accents.
The Undertaker?
Yeah, The Undertaker, but The Pallbearer.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's really good.
The best honeymoon ever. The most expensive honeymoon ever. These
yeah.
Are
so
more
we're,
t-shirts.
We're on a theme here.
Here's another one. This is the ladies' one. Disney Life Happy Wife.
Woof.
And then the guy's one says, I blank... To support my wife's blank blank.
I work
yep.
to support my wife's Disney problem.
Addiction, but yes. Oh, Disney addiction. You got it. Yeah, bang on.
Yeah, it's funny. You assume like Disney, because of its output in the recent decade, is ideologically beyond this stuff.
Yeah.
But of course, on the ground, they still have to sell to people from Florida.
They still have to sell to people from Florida and Idaho.
Of course.
All of these places exist and must be catered to. This is for a pregnant lady. What and the bump?
Lady and the bump.
Oh, you're so close.
Beauty and the bump.
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes, oh, okay, okay, okay.
And what does the guy's one say? So it's Beauty and the Bump.
Oh, and this is the partner with the...
The man one.
Is it also like a name of a Disney movie?
Well, it's the same pattern. I'll give you that as a clue.
Oh.
Beauty and the Bump and...
Daddy and the Beast. Wallet and the Beast?
Oh, that would be good. It's Beast Behind the Bump.
Ooh, that's a graphic for a Disney t-shirt, isn't it?
It's a t-shirt saying...
We did it doggy style. Sorry, this, Goofy style.
This is Pluto. Pluto style, Goofy style. Depending on the era. calling it
I think Pluto is, which is worse, Goofy style. Goofy style.
Goofy style's horrible.
Yeah.
Pluto style makes you go, wait, what do you mean? Whereas Goofy style makes you go, oh, what is it? Gorsh.
I think it's Goofy could fuck Missionary. Because he's, you know, anatomically human.
Yeah, he is.
Whereas Pluto's anatomically a dog.
Well, that's it. And people have pointed out online the humor of Goofy and Pluto thinking like...
Existing in the same universe.
Yeah, and you go, ugh. Yeah. And one is just like nude with a collar and like on the floor. And Goofy's this mutant.
Maybe it's like us with the apes. Is that the...
Maybe that is it, yeah.
The idea?
Maybe aliens would come and look at us and be like, why are some of you in the zoo?
We are the Goofy to the apes Pluto.
We are the Goofy.
We are Goofy.
We are Goofy. And silverback gorillas and chimps are Pluto.
Wow.
Yes. I
never thought of this.
Yes. Oh,
so it's an observation on evolution. It's not that Goofy is descended from Pluto. They share a common ancestor.
Yeah, they're branches
of
some kind of awful tree.
Ah. Wow, we've got to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and clearly Pluto has evolved in some savannah manner that means he has like light brown coloring.
Ah, okay. Yes.
He's whereas Goofy has got like black fur.
Yeah.
And a white face.
Right.
Which implies jungle. Like a spider monkey.
Right. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you're right. So, and Pluto's sandy like the desert.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Pluto's a sandier guy, yeah.
Sandier guy.
He's a sandy. He's in the savannah manner.
In the savannah manner.
In the savannah manner. I conducted myself in the savannah manner. So here's one. My favorite Disney what is my what?
My favorite Disney blank is my blank.
Yeah. Oh, this is the lady one.
Okay, my favorite Disney prince is my husband.
Absolutely perfect.
Yes!
My favorite Disney prince is my husband.
Woof! Yow! Youch!
But what does the man's one say? Because it can't be the same. It has to be the dad, like the I don't really like this.
Right, okay. My favorite Disney movie is football.
It's the same format.
So my favorite Disney princess... Yes?
No.
Oh.
Because it's not nice, remember? They can't be mutually nice.
My favorite Disney villain.
Yes, is my wife. My wife. Yes,
oh my
gosh. You got it.
Wow.
And then two t-shirts. One that says, the lady one says, I wear the ears.
Nice.
And the guy's one says, it rhymes.
I wear the ears. I shed the tears.
I shed the tears. And it's a silhouette of Mickey who's hanged himself. From the roof of the castle. Swinging. And then the little ding is on Mickey's dead little feet hanging. Swinging in the gatehouse. The villagers have taken over. It's what happened to the Magic Kingdom in 1790. Everyone just kicked off.
Yeah, the Great Disney Uprising.
The Great Disney Terror.
The Magical Kingdom Revolution.
they lynched Mickey.
So her t-shirt says...
I shed the tears. It's so funny.
I wear the ears. This is tough.
Think blokes. What do men like?
I drink the beers.
I buy the beers. You got it.
Yes.
Now, which one do you think was Emma's favorite?
Oh. I think Emma's favorite is the Prince Villain one.
You've got it.
Yes!
You've whispered not only Tatville, but someone's preference.
I know Tat. I'll dance with it once upon a dream. Yes.
Well, now it's time to go to the VIP Disney Kingdom.
Oh, great.
Oh, Disneyland, whatever, yeah. of the Patreon. But listeners... the best show I've ever done is on at Soho at the end of March, start of April. Please come to that.
Very good.
Links and...
This is one I've not seen.
This is one you haven't seen.
Wow.
Definitely the best I've ever done.
God.
Definitely.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I need to go to this.
Good. Better.
I put it in my diary. I need to check with you after this, actually.
Yeah. And you're at the Apollo.
Yes, which when this comes out will be tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, everyone.
So if you're in London, I'll be at the Hammersmith Apollo tomorrow night. There might be some tickets available still. It's a big place.
It's a big place.
Otherwise, we'll see patrons on Friday and non-patrons on the next time next week. Wednesday. Yes. But until then, bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.